Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. I'm your host, Katie Mox, and coming up on today's show, there's a lot to unpack from the Chiefs' win against the Chargers last night. We've got you covered, plus we'll go through some of the games on Sunday's slate and give you our best bets, and you know it, you got some Mox Locks coming your way. But before we get started, let's welcome in my friend and fantasy and betting analyst, Adam Ronis. Adam, thanks for joining us. How you doing?
Doing great. Really excited that football is back. We had a great Thursday night game, and it's good to talk to you once again.
Yes, Adam and I used to host together. Well, you were the expert analyst on MSG, so I haven't seen you for a while. I'm so excited to get your takes because you're definitely one of the sharpest bettors that I know. But first, let's get into the mock thoughts of the day. We actually have two of them. First, Chargers versus Chiefs. What a game this was. The Chargers were leading for most of the game. And then Herbert threw that crazy interception, 99 yards run back by the rookie to get the touchdown, and everything fell apart from there. Herbert, I don't know if he broke his ribs or ribs are sore. I know they're doing some x-rays on that, but what a tough loss for the Chargers because I really felt like that game was theirs for most of it. I had the Chargers plus four, so backdoor cover for me. That was pretty amazing. And then, of course, the under. Adam, what'd you think of the game?
Yeah, I also had the Chargers plus four. They're one of those teams that every year that I'm always very high on and they always disappoint. I thought this was the epitome of the Chargers over the last few years. They were clearly the better team. You know, I think a lot of people, and this is going to be a theme probably with week two, people got so high on the Chiefs in week one because they destroyed the Cardinals, who are just not a good team right now. The Chargers defense has really improved, and we saw it. You know, one of the things that I pointed out yesterday on my show was everyone was on Travis Kelce over receptions and over yardage because of what he did against the Chargers in the last three games. And I'm like, be careful. I saw 97% of the money on that early in the week. I'm like, that's crazy. And what happened? He went under because Derwin James does a really good job on Kelce. And you saw the body slam. I didn't expect that. But
that the Chargers, was crazy.
Right? It was.
Looked like WWE.
So I think the Chargers were the better team. There's no doubt about it. And I think a lot of teams in week one were the better team and lost. But this is really disappointing. But I think it does point out that the Chiefs do have some issues against better defenses with no Tyreek Hill because we didn't really see much from the receiving corps. So I think the Chargers still are going to be a good team going forward. But they've got to find a way to win these games before we can put them in that championship conversation.
I agree with you. I do think that their defense, that defensive front was amazing last night. Patrick Mahomes had to be pretty incredible with some of those throws to, and he had to scramble multiple times to find these perfect passes, which of course he's Patrick Mahomes. So he did do, but yeah, it was a heartbreaker for the Chargers because I really thought that, like you said, they were the better team. They should have won that game. And also Patrick Mahomes threw what should have been like four or five different interceptions and somehow it was never intercepted. Herbert gets one and it changes the entire game.
Yeah, it's you're 100% right on that. They had so many opportunities, and they had one overturned on a replay. But you got to make those plays if you're a championship team. I mean, the Chiefs got it done from the rookie Watson with that touchdown. That clearly changed the game because the Chargers were about to score there. So you have to hope if you're the Chargers that Herbert is fine and that he's not going to miss an extended period of time or play through significant amount of pain. They have the ingredients there. They have to put it together. So it's a game that they should have won. I thought before the year they were my pick to win the division. And I'm going to stick with it. But it is the Chargers, and they have done this so many times. We got to change the culture.
I agree with you. That was going to be my next question. If you look at the AFC West, this was such an interesting game in terms of what is this going to look like for the division. And I still think the Chargers too. I'm super high on the Chargers. I've been saying on this show, it's Herbie fully loaded and he is amazing. I'm curious, what do you think is happening with his ribs? Do you think they're broken? Do you think he's going to miss some time? I thought at some point you might as well pull this guy out because this game's over. And then of course he had that just ridiculous throw right after he couldn't even throw it on the drive before. But I am worried about his injury and what that looks like moving forward.
Yeah, it might be a pain tolerance issue, maybe a flak jacket. He might have to play through it. Maybe he misses one game. But they're saying as of last night that they didn't think it was that serious. But we'll find out. I still think they could win the division as well. They've played the Chiefs very well over the last couple of years. In fact, the last both games last year came down to the final possession. This one came close to it. I mean, I don't want to call this a final possession game because they did need to march down the field and the Chiefs nailed it. But it was a three-point game. So they can play with the Chiefs. And They get the next game at home. They don't really have a home field advantage, too. That's the other problem with them. You know, the Chiefs have a big home field advantage. The Chargers don't. So
there's
no
Chargers fans.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no Chargers fans in LA. There's barely even Rams fans in LA. And you know, I'm a 49ers fan, so I could talk about that. There's more Niners fans and more Raiders fans in Los Angeles than the teams that actually play in LA. But let's get into the second mock thought. There are four games on the slate this weekend in week two that are 10-point spreads, double digit spreads. You got the Falcons at the Rams, obviously defending champs, 10-point favorites there. Texans at Broncos. Broncos are the 10-point favorite, which is interesting considering how they played against the Seahawks. Bears at Packers. Aaron Rodgers absolutely owns the Bears, but the Bears, I don't know that they looked good against the 49ers. We gave them, when I say we, I'm a Niners fan, a lot of yards. We helped that offense out quite a bit, but the Packers looked terrible in week one. And then you got Titans at Bills. I'm super high on the Bills. Are there any of these four games? And I know you're a sharp bettor. You don't like to lay double digit spreads, but looking at these, is there any that you'd be like, actually, I might lay 10 points on that?
Yeah, I think actually a couple of them, Bills are definitely one of them. I think, you know, I think people are looking at the Titans playing the Bills very well the last 2 years and beating them. This is a completely different Titans team. I mean, they lost to the Giants in week one. Derrick Henry did not look explosive, only had 82 rushing yards, and the Bills are on a mission, and now they get the extra day of rest since they open on Thursday night. They come home in front of a raucous home crowd that is preparing for a Super Bowl run, and the Bills really showed no flaws in week one against the defending champions, and I know the Rams had some issues, but the Bills just destroyed them. I mean, that game should have been even more out of reach if the Bills didn't turn it over. They have everything that you need. They also improved on the defensive side of the football, adding Von Miller, so I think people are still maybe looking at the Titans from last year. I think the Titans are bad. I took the under on their win total of 9.5. I don't think this is a good football team.
Ryan Tannehill isn't really that great. We saw some aggression from him last year. I think that's continuing this year. Derrick Henry coming off of that injury, he's not going to be as good. And I agree. I mean, their defense, everything is just not like it was last year. So I would definitely, I did take the under on that. I'm not super high on them as well. What's another game here that you would actually lay 10 points on? Is it the Packers? Would you lay that against the Bears, considering how dominant Aaron Rodgers is against the Bears?
Yeah, I would, because we've seen this before. Last year, week one, Green Bay got destroyed by the Saints 38-3. They bounced back in week two. They tend to start slowly. They have the concerns I have, which are the tackles on the offensive line. They're going to need them back. But this is also, you mentioned he's 22-5 against the Bears, 20-7 against the spread. Just destroys this team. And the Bears in week one, I'm going to chalk it up to the weather. Was a monsoon. Bad conditions on the field. Bears broke loose for a couple big plays. I just don't think they're that good. And Green Bay's defense, I think, is really good. I know it didn't show last week because they didn't cover Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
But I think this is a good Green Bay defense. So I do see there could be some weather in that game. So that's something to keep an eye on if you're going to bet it. But yeah, I think the Packers handle the Bears easily.
I agree. I'm hesitant to lay the 10 points just from what I saw from the Packers. I think they're going to win this game. Absolutely. I might look at them in the first quarter. Their first quarter, I believe, is -3, and those odds are at -105. I definitely think get out early, because what I saw from the Bears in the first half of the game against the 49ers, that offense could not get moving at all. And it wasn't until the second half when the Niners were committing terrible penalties on third down and just giving them all of these yards, all of these first downs, that they started to kind of get things going. So I would maybe look at that in the first quarter. And also, I'm kind of thinking about the under in this game. I know it's not a super high total, but it seems to me like the markets haven't adjusted to the Packers having a worse offense, yet a better defense. And we do know that the Bears, even though they're not the Bears of yesteryear, that defense still is pretty stout.
Yeah, I just think that it's Aaron Rodgers against the Bears, and they'll figure out a way to make things work just because I don't know what it is. I think 2019, too, they opened the season Thursday night, and it was a 10-3 game against the Bears. They just don't start well in week one. And I think you saw it from a lot of teams that started slowly last week. There were some ugly first halves, especially in those 1 p.m. games. And I think it's because of the lack of a preseason. Many guys aren't playing, and they're just not ready to go yet. It's still kind of the preseason. Even this week a little bit is going to have like a preseason feel.
Well, and to your point too, Aaron Rodgers has not participated in preseason for the last few seasons, and he's gone 0-1 back to back on week ones. And of course, we know he comes back with a vengeance after that. But let's move on now to Capper's Corner. All right, people, we're brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. See, it's not just about the daily promos, odd boosts, or the hundreds of ways to wager. It's about the immortal words of Caesar himself. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Every bet you place on the app, no matter the outcome, earns towards exclusive perks at Caesars Rewards destinations everywhere. Hotel stays, concert tickets, bonuses, and more. Download the Caesars Sportsbook app, become a Caesars Rewards member today and get more with every wager. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, now we're moving on to Capper's Corner. We're going to give you our best bets for some of the games on Sunday's slate. Starting things off here, we're going to look at the Dolphins at the Ravens. Ravens are favored by 3.5. This total, 44.5. Opening line, Baltimore, 3.5. No movement there. This total has ticked down a little bit. It opened at 46. What do you think of this game, Adam? And, you know, what are your best bets moving on to this one?
Yeah, one of the games I'm looking forward to this week, you know, two of the better teams. I know the Ravens beat the Jets last week, but I really, really wasn't impressed. Also shocked at how Lamar Jackson didn't run. That is something to keep an eye on. Just 6 rushing attempts. Does this have to do with him trying to prove that he's a pocket passer? Does it have to do with the contract? I don't know, because the Ravens couldn't run the football at all last week. Now, you can beat the Jets not running the football. I don't think you're going to be able to beat the Dolphins that way. And I know J.K. Dobbins has put in full practice. He could return, but I can't see a big workload. So they have some issues on the offensive line. Injuries were their downfall last year. They started 8-3, and then they lost their last 6 games. I thought with a healthy Baltimore team, they're going to be good, but they do have some issues right now. And Miami really gave Baltimore problems last year. I know it was a Thursday night game, short week in Miami, but I'm going to take the points here, getting 3.5 with Miami. I think this is a close game. I think they have a shot to win. Again, I like the Ravens, but some injuries right now. What is going on with Lamar Jackson? Miami had a good win last week. I'm not all that impressed because New England's offense is abysmal right now, but I'm going to take the 3.5 points. And then my prop is going to be Chase Edmonds over 23.5 receiving yards, minus 119. He had 4 for 40 last week. You know, a lot of people were like, this is going to be a committee, but we saw Edmonds play a lot of the snaps. And I know the final stat line wasn't great, but I think he is the running back here. And I like Edmonds. He's going to be – his strength is in the passing game. So 23.5 is kind of a low number here. So, and we saw – I know the Jets put the ball in the air 59 times last week, but their running backs were heavily involved in the passing game.
So, Adam, we're against each other on this one, which I hate doing because you're such a sharp bettor. But I'm going to take the Ravens at home. They have won 6 straight home openers. Lamar 3-0 in his home openers. I agree with you in terms of the way he looked against the Jets and the fact that he wasn't running. But if you were going to try to show off that you could be a pocket passer, you might as well try it against the Jets because that's going to make you look really, really good. I think that we'll definitely see some more rushing attempts from him here. And I'm still not sold on Miami. And I don't know if I'm just being a hater. I do love Mike McDaniel. I don't have a whole lot of trust in Tua. So I do feel like, you know, Lamar is playing for a contract too. He turned down that $250 million not guaranteed contract. So he's got to really, really show some arm strength and some, you know, some running and all of the things. So I feel like I'm going to lean on Lamar and the Ravens to get this 3.5. And I'm taking Chase Edmonds, but I'm taking him under his rushing attempts. This is at 11 and a half. He had 11 rushing attempts against New England. Both he and Mostert didn't really have a ton of room to run. New England is a stout defense. The Ravens had the best defense in the NFL last year against the run, surrendering 84 and a half yards per game. So we're for you to have him just at 23. I get it to go over, but I'm hoping that he goes under on his attempts.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. He's not one of those running backs that I think they want to give 15, 20 carries to. I think, again, his strength is in the passing game. So that's a close line. You know, I could see him getting 12. A lot's going to depend on game flow as well. But yeah, that's going to be a close one with that.
Okay, let's move on to the Bucs at the Saints. Buccaneers favored by 2.5, just under a field goal. This total, 44.5. Opening line was Tampa Bay -4. So this has gone down in favor of the Saints. And the total has ticked up just 2. It opened at 46.5. Tampa Bay money line -145. You want to take New Orleans on the money line +122. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm on the Saints +2.5. Was able to get it at +3 earlier in the week. But
oh, that's better.
Look at the history here. It is just not good. The Saints dominate Tampa Bay. Saints have won 7 of the last 8 meetings, going 7-1 against the spread. Brady in the regular season against the Saints is 0-4.
Yep.
Yeah, he did beat them in the postseason, but you know, he didn't have a good game there either. And a lot of injuries right now for Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
On the offensive line, at wide receiver, Julio Jones, Mike Evans. We know Chris Godwin's out. Russell Gage is healthy, but he was dealing with a hamstring injury all preseason. And the Saints just know how to beat Brady. They know how to get pressure on him. So, yeah, I'm taking the Saints +2.5 here. And my prop is the same as yours because there's not a lot out right now, especially with the injuries. But Tom Brady under 277.5 passing yards. He's only gone over this one time in the five game. If you want to count the postseason, he's only gone over it one time out of 5. So again, all the injuries to the receiving core on the offensive line, tough place to play, and the Saints have his number. Yeah, I think that's a good bet.
I agree. I mean, we're in lockstep on this one, which I feel a lot better on. Like you said, Brady 0-4 in the regular season. The Saints just have his number. I went to the game last year at the Superdome for Halloween. I was on Tom Brady and he got the pick 6. I mean, everything was just terrible. And you talk about the pressure on Brady. He's pressured 32% of his dropbacks against the Saints since 2020. That is his worst rate versus any team. And like you said, he only averaged about 259.3 passing yards per game as a Buccaneer. To have him go over this, and I think he struggles with the deep ball against this defense. So I like it. We're on the same page with it with this one, which I appreciate. Okay, moving on. Are you a Giants fan? You're a New Yorker. Are you a Giants fan?
Oh, no.
Oh.
I'll put it this way. My team season is over after week one. Do you want to guess who I like?
You're a Jets fan.
I mean, I guess. No. If I was a Jets
fan, Cowboys
my season
fan?
Would be over every year.
Yes.
Cowboys, yeah. So,
oh. Cowboys. Yeah.
Now I know how Jets fans feel. It is not fun. It is not fun at all.
So you're a Cowboys fan living in New York. I feel like all New Yorkers hate the Cowboys. Well, anyone in the NFC East really hates the Cowboys.
Well, there's a lot of Cowboys fans in New York. So I went to the Giants-Cowboys game last year. Now, it was in December, so it was late in the year. Probably about 50% Cowboy fans. And I went to, before the game, a coffee shop about 3 miles from the stadium. There was maybe 14 tables in there. 12 of them had someone with a Cowboys jersey on. I couldn't believe it.
I will say, I know people are like, you're not America's team. But to your point, there are so many Cowboys fans in the nation. That seems like a weird thing to say. But even for 49ers games, when the Niners are good and maybe the Cowboys haven't been so good, it's still a very large percentage of Cowboys fans at those games. I feel like in major cities, Cowboys fans travel well. They also live kind of in New York, in California, in these places. So I will give the Cowboys that. Y'all have a lot of fans all over the United States. But okay, let's talk Giants here.
As a 49ers fan, you hate the Cowboys. It's okay. I understand. There's a big rivalry.
We do. Well, we have since moved on. Now, we moved on to the Seahawks and then now we hate the Rams. So, but the rivalry is still there deep down, but it hasn't been as activated, since the 90s. But all right, let's talk about the Giants, who you're not a fan of. Giants, Panthers at Giants. Giants are favored by 2. The total is 43.5. Opening line, Giants by 1.5 and 43. So a little bit of line movement here, but not so much. What do you think?
Okay, I'm very objective, though. I don't like the Giants, but I was all over the Giants last week. I love the Giants last week. Oh, yeah. Again, I don't like Tennessee. I don't buy into them. So I loved the Giants last week, and they got it done. And I drafted Saquon Barkley in almost all my fantasy leagues. And
good draft.
One of my friends who's a Giants fan texted me at halftime, sell Saquon now. Get whatever you can get. And then, obviously, after the third quarter, I was just kidding. Because he was like, why are you selling Saquon so much? So it's for fantasy and betting, you cannot bet with your heart. But this one, I don't get this line. See, this was all based on what happened at the end of last week's game. Will the Giants have been favored had Tennessee hit the field goal and Cleveland missed the field goal? No.
Right.
So it's based on those two results. So I'm on the Panthers here. I think the Panthers plus two. I don't like the Giants as a favorite. I think the Giants did what they had to do last week, but Daniel Jones still threw a bad interception in the end zone, and Carolina is going to come out and play better. This is the Ben McAdoo revenge game. I think the Panthers need to get the ball in the hands of Christian McCaffrey more. They will. DJ Moore is in a bounce back spot. We saw Robbie Anderson with the big play. So I'm taking Carolina plus two. I think they win this game. The money line's plus 110. You can go there if you want, but I'll take Carolina plus two. I think they win this game. And then my prop is Christian McCaffrey over 62.5 rushing yards at minus 115. They already said, McAdoo said it numerous times, we got to get the ball in the hands of McCaffrey. He didn't get enough touches last week. They came out throwing. I don't know if it's because they wanted Baker Mayfield to get his revenge on Cleveland. It didn't work. I think the Panthers win this game.
I'm not high on either of these teams at all, but I feel like I want to go with the momentum of the New York Giants. I mean, when's the last time they started a season 2-0? I don't even know. I mean, it's got to be a very, very long time. And that, going for it for two and Dable just trusting his team and getting it in there, that's definitely something that Judge would never do. So I feel like they have the momentum. Baker Mayfield lost his revenge game versus the Browns. That was a tough one for him to swallow. And when I look at the Panthers, they're on an 8-game losing streak, straight up and against the spread. It's the longest streak in NFL. They're also looking to avoid becoming the first team since 2015 Falcons to lose 9 straight games against the spread. I don't know. I just feel like the Giants have the momentum here, so that's where I'm going. I'm going to give them to cover, actually, minus the 2. And I like Saquon Barkley. Over 75.5 rushing yards is at minus 111. You just said he killed it in fantasy. He had the most fantasy points last week. He had 194 scrimmage yards, 2 rushing touchdowns. He had the 2-point conversion. Get the ball to Saquon. Get the ball to Saquon often and get it to him early against this Panthers. I think they're going to do it the same way that they did. They're going to lean on him a little bit more just so Daniel Jones can't screw things up. So I like him to go over this.
Yeah, he looks really good. He's healthy. You know, he had the unfortunate injury where he got stepped on last year. He even said he never felt comfortable coming off the torn ACL. And he's playing for a contract as well. But he's got that explosiveness back. He had a couple of big runs. So yeah, Barkley is looking really good right now, and the Giants have to lean on him.
Well, it's interesting that we took both of the running backs who have injury-prone histories that a lot of people are high on before the season, and then they end up getting injured. Obviously, I know who you chose because he's your number one running back in fantasy, but when you look at Saquon versus McCaffrey, who do you think is going to have a better season this year?
Well, I had McCaffrey ranked higher than Barkley, but that had them both in the top 5. I don't think a lot of people had Barkley in the top 5. I was very aggressive on him. I think it's McCaffrey. It comes down to health for McCaffrey. And that's been a problem the last couple of years. But on a per-game basis, he just puts up huge numbers. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Barkley had the better season than McCaffrey. And since I have so much Saquon Barkley, I'm kind of hoping he does finish better than McCaffrey.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, let's move on. Patriots at Steelers. This is a big one. The Patriots are favored minus 2 at the Steelers. Steelers a home dog here. This total is at 40.5. Not a whole lot of line movement on this one head-to-head. This will be the first time that these two teams have gone against each other with no Tom Brady or Big Ben since 1998. Pats, of course, lost to the Dolphins 20-7. Steelers won 23-20 in overtime versus the Bengals. How do you see this game?
Yeah, both teams were not impressive last week at all. I mean, the Patriots, it's very concerning with their play calling, with Joe Judge and Patricia running things. That is not good. God. I mean, those guys weren't good. So what are we doing? So that's a concern. But I wasn't impressed with the Steelers either. I mean, the Bengals basically gave them that game. Burrow throwing 4 picks. So I'm not really hired either team. Right? It was so bad. But I'll take New England minus the two, Belichick getting his team to bounce back. Just the Steelers offense really didn't do anything. I know Najee Harris has been putting in full practices, but a little concerned with that injury last week. The offensive line for the Steelers is a problem. You got Trubisky there at quarterback. So I think the Patriots will bounce back. They always struggle against Miami for some reason, especially in Miami. So yeah, I think this is a bounce back week. But yeah, this is a game like I don't feel strongly about, but I would take the Patriots minus two, and my prop will be Ramondre Stevenson over 12.5 receiving yards at minus 119. Ty Montgomery was put on injured reserve, and there was a lot of talk in camp that Stevenson has looked good in the passing game and could be that pass-catching back. So I'm taking a chance that he will be the guy this week, and 12.5 receiving yards, not a lot. So I expect him to be the third down back with Ty Montgomery on injured reserve.
Yeah, I had the Patriots last week, which obviously did not work out too well for me, but I'm going to the well again, and I'm going to take Patriots money line on this one. Like you said, Bill Belichick loves a bounce back. He is 28-22 after a loss by 10 or more while coaching New England. Also, we know he loves a ground and pound. He's 64-63 in all games where the total is between 35.5 and 42. This is a low scoring game. 40 points, that just seems too low to me. So if I had to take a side on the total, I would actually lean over this mark because I do think that Mac Jones and that offense is going to be a little bit better. They don't have TJ Watt anymore with the Steelers. 40 seems really, really low to me. What do you think about this total?
Yeah, it does seem low as well. I think, and it's a reaction to last week with the Patriots offense not doing anything. And I got to think that they're a little bit better. I know Pittsburgh's defense is pretty solid, but no TJ Watt. So I could see this going over the number.
Okay, let's talk about the Bengals at the Cowboys. Now, this line has been all over the place. It opened with the Cowboys as 2-point favorites, your team, America's team, and that has swung all the way to minus 7 after week one. We got Dak Prescott with the injury to his throwing thumb, and you got Cooper Rush in now. Your heart is close to this game, total at 43.5. What do you think?
Well, it's hard to back Dallas. The only reason you can is you're like, well, is this a trap? Did the line move too much? Cooper Rush did have a good game last year on Sunday night against Minnesota that they won. Also, the Bengals are coming off an overtime game. They ran 100 plays. That is a lot for week one of the season. How do you recover in week two? True. But it's really hard to back Dallas. You know, we're waiting to see if T. Higgins is going to play. He's in concussion protocol. Jamar Chase is a stud. Joe Mixon should have success. The Cowboys had problems stopping Leonard Fournette last week. But it's not just Dak Prescott. The Cowboys have a lot of issues, and I was not high on them going into the season. I thought the Eagles would win the division before the year because the Cowboys didn't do much in the offseason. And what was always their strength the last few years? The offensive line. It's not a strength anymore. Tyron Smith is out. Lost McGovern last week. So they have a lot of issues, inexperience at the wide receiving core. So they have a lot of problems right now. So I just don't see how you can back Dallas. But that has me worried because everyone's going to be on the Bengals. And when I see a lot of money on one side, it always concerns me. I haven't seen the money yet, but I got to assume everyone's going to be on the Bengals. But I would take them to minus 7. Not really seeing a lot on props yet, but I would take the over 41.5. Because I think everyone's going to be like, oh, Dallas is not going to score. They didn't get into the red zone. They didn't score a touchdown last week. So they're going to pencil in the Cowboys for 3-10. They might be able to do a little bit better than that, and the Bengals should be able to put up points. So I'll go on the over.
At one point, this line was 10 favoring the Bengals, and I would have definitely taken the Cowboys plus 10 on that because that's just way too much of a swing, much more than we see just for a quarterback switch, although there was a lot of issues in week one, like you said. But to have the Bengals win by a touchdown, I feel pretty comfortable on this one. I would actually lay the points with them on that one. And, you know, for as much as this new look O-line for the Bengals, Joe Burrow was sacked 7 times. In that game, he's been sacked 7 times in 3 of his last 4 games, including the playoffs. I would take Micah Parsons on his sack prop. I didn't see anything on Caesars right now. Maybe that'll come out later. But Joe Burrow is definitely going to get rocked in this game. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I thought this was one of the more improved offensive lines in the league with the additions they made. So I was a little surprised. And it was actually, I think, their left side of the line, which was the experience part that was having the issue. So we know Parsons definitely can create some pressure. So that is something to keep an eye on because that was a problem for Burrow most of last year. We thought, okay, they fixed it, but not in week one against Pittsburgh.
Not at all. And, you know, you had TJ Watt going after him. And you got Micah Parsons, who was the defensive rookie of the year, coming at him. And I think it's unfortunate because Dallas is not going to be a good team this year. But so maybe he's not going to be in the running for defensive player of the year. But he was a good one to look at for that. I'm obviously hopeful for Nick Bosa, but it'll be interesting to see what he does. But he's definitely going to get, I think, to Joe Burrow in this game at least once, maybe even twice. I don't know what a sack prop is going to be. But okay, we talked about the game that's close to your heart. Now let's talk about the game that's close to my heart, which was a bummer for me last week as well. We got the Seahawks at the 49ers. This is an 8.5-point spread. This was a 10-point spread at one point as well. The line opened up at 7.5, favoring the 49ers. Last weekend was a misery, an absolute monsoon misery for the 49ers. I think that we beat ourselves in that game more than the Bears beat us, but the Seahawks seem to have our number. How do you feel about this game? This total's at 41.
Yeah, I'm going to take the 49ers and lay the points.
Let's go!
Yeah, look, Seattle should not have won last week, okay?
No.
Denver fumbled twice at the one. They had over 500 yards. And the Seahawks offense did nothing in the second half. Yeah, Geno was fine early on, but I think that was an emotional game with Russell Wilson coming back. They were fired up. They were ready to play.
Crowd booing him.
They should not have won that game. There's no way. And I don't care about history here because that was with Russell Wilson. And the 49ers obviously played in that bad weather situation. I know people are down on Trey Lance, but I think you need to give him some time. Yeah. I think Kittle playing would help, but you know, he didn't practice yet this week going into Friday. So that's something to keep an eye on. But the 49ers defense is good. I just don't see Seattle having success here. They're coming off a short week, an emotional win that they shouldn't have won. And I think San Francisco, that was probably as bad as you'll see them this year. So I think San Francisco handles Seattle in this game. I know a lot of people are going to be on Seattle points, but that's because they're looking at the final score last week. I was not impressed with Seattle. I just wasn't. I don't think they're that good.
No, and people are acting like Geno Smith was somehow holding Russell Wilson back. And it's like, exactly. Stop it. That was like the biggest overreaction for me for last week was watching people say that he's better than Russell Wilson. I also think it was just crappy. I wanted to say another word, but of the NFL to give that to Russell Wilson on his very first game, to have him go all the way back to Seattle, like that's a lot going into that. And his offense didn't help him at all. Like you said, 2 drops in the end zone, which was just absolutely awful. But the 49ers winning by 8.5 points, I just want them to win. I'm not going to lay the 420 on this one. I don't know that they win by the 8.5 just because Pete Carroll seems to have our number. They've beat us in most of the matchups. So I'll agree with you on that one. I'm not going to lay that. I kind of like the over 41. And I know it's going to be another rain game, but it's not going to be a monsoon like it was in Chicago. 41 seems pretty low to me. I do think that Trey Lance and the offense gets clicking a little bit better. And our defense, we made a lot of mistakes in the second half, which I think that we can definitely chalk up to the bad weather. But they looked really good in that first half, and I expect that to carry forward. I'm going to take Debo for an anytime touchdown score, especially with Mitchell out. You're going to just feed Debo the ball, feed the ball to the big dog and have him go in. So that's at -103. I like Debo anytime.
Yeah, I mean, you would think Debo is going to play a big role in the running game. You know, that was one of the big things this week. I mean, everyone's picking up Jeff Wilson, and he should be the next guy up, but, you know, they do have Jordan Mason and Ty Davis Price. And we know 49ers running backs are just valuable. It's the assist. They plug in whoever. Yeah. But Debo is still playing a big role. And with them favored by so much, you would expect them to run the ball quite a bit this week. So, yeah, I mean, Debo Samuel is just – he's a stud. So that's definitely something to look at.
How do you feel about this total? It's 41. It's pretty low. But I do think that the 49ers offense is going to get clicking a little bit better. Even if it is raining, it's not going to be a monsoon.
Yeah, I think the 49ers will put up points. I just don't think Seattle's going to do much on this defense. I really don't. It's a tough spot. Yeah. They're going on the road. You know, Rashad Penny looked pretty good last week. They didn't give him a big workload. What was crazy is one of the problems is they never unleashed Russell Wilson. They were so conservative. They play at a slow pace, and all they do is run the ball. And then on a first drive with Russell Wilson on the sideline, here's Geno throwing all over the field. Russ is like, wait. I might have stayed if you would have let me do this.
Yes. That was calculating by Pete Carroll. And just to watch Pete Carroll at the end of that game, I mean, he acted like it was basically the Super Bowl. And I get it. Russell Wilson wanted to leave. The fans were – I was surprised that the fans were booing him. I thought he would get a much warmer welcome than he did, considering all he did for that franchise. – But yeah, like you said, it was an emotional game, and the Broncos just had a lot of bad beats that happened in that game, especially Russell Wilson. And the clock management, that was the one thing that I found interesting, or the one thing that I kind of enjoyed as a 49ers fan, is that Russell Wilson finally saw what it is like to play in Seattle against that 12th man. All of the delays of games and the clock management, now he knows what it's like for Niners and for everybody else to play in that building.
I mean, Denver did such an awful job. I mean, we were all sitting there watching, like, you're really going to go for a 64-yard field goal instead of a 4th-and-5 where you have a much higher percentage? It was mind-boggling that they did that. I don't think anyone agreed with it. And, yeah, they were just – they were so off. They were coming out of the huddle with 10 seconds on the play clock. Like, what are you doing? It's one of the most poorly coached games I've seen in recent memory because, again, you go look at all those stats. You're like, how did Seattle win this game? So – that's why I think you got to be careful when looking at Seattle and Denver this week, because the game was not indicative of how the final score resulted.
Yeah, let's go Niners.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Now it's time for Mock's Locks, where Adam and I are going to give you our best bets for the NFL slate this weekend. I talked about it a little bit in Mock's Thought earlier today, but I like the Packers -3 in the first quarter just because these odds are a little bit better, -103. I do think the Pack get out early and score, and I'm just not thrilled and not impressed by the Bears' offense here. We already alluded to it. Aaron Rodgers, 20-7 against the spread versus the Bears. Also, the Packers have won 11 straight games after a loss, and they're also a perfect 11-0 against the spread. Aaron Rodgers, 22-5 in his career against the Bears. The Bears are not going to be able to get the ball moving. I'd like them to get out early, the Packers to get out early, and cover this -3. And my second lock, I already talked about it, Tom Brady under 277.5 passing yards. He struggles to get the long ball going against the Saints. I think they lose this game, and I think Tom Brady is going to look very pedestrian, as he does in the regular season versus the Saints. Adam, what are your locks?
Yeah, I'm also on Green Bay, but game total, -10. As I said, the Packers tend to start very slowly. They did it last year, losing 38-3 in game one. They bounce back. You mentioned his numbers against the Bears, also 20-7 against the spread. And under LaFleur, they are 9-0, winning by an average of double-digit points, coming off a loss. And just things didn't go right week one. I think they're going to get things together. Christian Watson dropped a touchdown pass. You might see Alan Lazard play this week. That'll definitely help. I know there's some issues on the offensive line, but I just think the Bears are an inferior opponent. Green Bay goes back home in prime time. Rodgers has said it. He owns the Bears, so I think he gets it done. So that would be number one. And number two, there's no line on this yet. It also involves a Packer. It is Aaron Jones and his total yardage. I'm guessing it's going to be around 86. He had 8 touches in week one. And Aaron Rodgers has spoke about how they need to get the ball in his hands more. He's one of their top players. The same thing happened last year. Week one, he had 7 touches. Week two, 23. So I don't know why they have to see this like they did last year. But in week one, two, he had 76 total yards on those 8 touches. So I'm guessing it's going to be around 86.5. I'm going to take the over. I think they're going to get the ball in his hands. He's one of the most trusted receivers. It was very puzzling last week. I think they said the game got away from them. But that's what I'm looking at. Aaron Jones, his total yardage over.
I love that. And I will be on the lookout for that this weekend. Adam, thank you so much for coming on the show today. You're all over the place. You got podcasts, you got shows, you're on television. Let the people know where to find you on social and some of the shows that you're participating on.
Yeah, on Twitter, at Adam Ronis, on Instagram, at Aaron88. Do a show weekdays on the Better Sports Network, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern. You could find me, my work, fantasyalarm.com. I do some work for PicksWise.com as well. I also make appearances regularly on MSG TV. You know them well. But yeah, yes. Just covering baseball, basketball, football, fantasy, sports betting, just everything. So real fortunate that I get to do this for a living. Blessed to do it.
Yeah, do yourself a favor and follow this man if you like to win money. This has been Moxie Betts, presented by Caesar Sportsbook. Don't forget to follow us on social at Moxie Betts.